So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me to the book of James, chapter 3, and then we're going to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I want to talk to you for a few moments today about the tree and the seed. It is 9:21 for those of you taking medication. We want you to make sure that you stay on your ritual. The tree and the seed. The tree and the seed. James chapter 3 verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and begin reading because of time's sake. So catch up with me if you can. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Did you see that? If any man doesn't stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking to you now about your mouth. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Then in Genesis chapter 1, the principle of the seed. Verse 11 says, Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself. Verse 13, according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 13, so the evening of the morning was the third day. Father, bless the reading of your word. May it give life to us in your name. And the church said, amen. The tree and the seed. Now, I'm always cautious when I preach a message around the topic that I'm going to preach on this morning, because it has to do with the words that are coming out of your mouth. And what it has, but it, I'm cautious because when I preach a message like this, somebody is going to go to the extreme and become the word police. They're going to become the mouth police. And they're going to be telling you things like, oh, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. You know, oh, I don't feel good. Oh, don't say that. And, you know, and there's somebody at the that said that they were sick, and on their tombstone is printed, I told y'all I was sick. Because nobody believed it. Nobody wanted to talk about that. And I am a proponent of having a good confession. And I believe that some of the problem with us is that the tree that we eat from and the seed that we reproduce. And some of that seed that we reproduce is our mouth. So point number one is this, is that you've got to choose the right tree. Choose the right tree. You cannot expect to eat an apple when you picked oranges from an orange tree. You cannot expect to grow green beans when you planted squash. You cannot expect a different harvest from the seed that you planted. Now, and listen to me. Let me help somebody. Because somebody is saying right now, and I've heard it said so many times, oh, Lord, Pastor, the seeds that I've sown before Christ, I hate those seeds. They're going to come back to haunt me. I disagree with that, not 100%, because I am redeemed from the seeds that I planted before Christ. Oh, you're hearing me. You see, I believe that my children will not have to answer to or have the seeds that I planted before Christ, because when I was born again, Jesus said, all things were passed away. Behold, all have become new. All right? Now, so that means spiritually that I do not have a harvest coming to me from before Christ. Now, if you killed somebody before Christ, you still going to face the music, because forensic files is got your file in their library. and they're looking for you. So that's different. Understand that. The tree you eat from, hear me now, the tree you eat from determines the fruit you eat. Oh, we're going to change the wording on that. It don't look too good. Look real good on my computer. The fruit of the tree you eat from determines the fruit you eat. What tree are you going to eat from? Are you going to eat from the tree of good and evil, or the tree of knowledge? Are you going to eat from the tree of deceitfulness? What tree are you going to eat from? Because that's the seed, or that's the fruit that you're taking. And the fruit you eat determines the seed that you eat. The tree that you choose determines the fruit that you eat, and the fruit that you eat determines the seeds that you're going to produce. Does that make sense to you? What grows in your heart comes out of your mouth. What grows in your heart comes out of your mouth. You hear people talk sometimes and you're like, that's what's in your heart. If you get around people long enough, you'll find out what's in their heart because it comes out. You talk about it long enough, you know, if people are about Jesus, eventually they're going to talk about Jesus. If they're about deceit, it's going to come out. If they're bitterness, it's going to come out. The Bible said, out of the mouth speaketh, right? But it's from the heart. Whatever's in your heart is going to eventually come out of your mouth, you know. So you got to understand, what comes out of your mouth is what you're going to experience in life. Now, I'm going to go through this real quickly one more time. The fruit that you eat determines the seed that you eat. The seed that you eat determines what grows in your heart. And what grows in your heart eventually comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth is the life that you're going to experience. And some people can't see beyond where they are. And all they speak is where they are instead of where they're going. I am thankful that I'm not who I used to be. And I'm thankful for who I am today, but who I am today is not the sum total of who God's called me to be tomorrow. So I refuse to settle for where I am today, because I know that God's got even a greater call and a greater upward pull on me. And if he's doing it on me, I'm sure he's doing it on you. But you got to deal with the choice. Adam and Eve had a choice. God said, you can eat of every tree of this garden. You can eat of every fruit. But the one. Isn't that still true today? I mean, if he just hadn't have told us the one, we're like, well, why can't we have the one? Instead of why we can have all the other stuff. Why can't we do that? Because it's detrimental to your life. They could eat from the tree of life as God commanded and enjoy life. They could eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God forbade and experience death. See, the problem is they had a God consciousness, and we have a sin consciousness. We're conscious about what sin we can do. And listen, our forefathers didn't do us any favors. All they did was talk about what we couldn't do. If you was raised in a church like me, we didn't talk about the life that you could have in Jesus. What we talked about is all the stuff that you couldn't do. And, you know, basically, if you smiled and were happy, then you must not be saved. Anybody else raised in a church like that? A few of y'all. Y'all think you're kidding, but we're not, man. Huh? You smiling too much. What you doing? It must be wrong. Instead of what must be right. John 10:10 said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And I refuse to let anybody who don't know Jesus enjoy life more than I do. Because I have life because Jesus gave me that life. See, another force worked against them to choose the wrong tree. The battle of the seeds. Here's what Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Talking to the devil. See, what we've got to recognize is that the words that come out of your mouth are centered inside of your heart. And so you got to change what's in your heart. What did Proverbs 4:21 tells us? It says, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So if your heart is impure, then what you speak is going to impure. And what you speak, which is impure, will eventually become your life. And we've got to make sure that it's right. Because there's a warfare truth coming here. Now, I want you to write this down. I'll be gone by the time you're there. But Craig, put this down so we can have the scripture next for the next service. I'm sorry. I'm just practicing on you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 says this, that a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it will eat its fruit. So if you say it long enough, you will eat the fruit of it. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem. We try to say stuff we don't believe. We try to say stuff to convince ourselves what we believe. And I believe sometimes that you got to do that. Sometimes you do got to speak stuff that you don't believe until you start believing it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. But what you got to make sure when you speak things that you don't believe, don't be speaking what grandma said or what mama said. Speak what the Word of God says, because the Word of God gets in you, and when it gets in you, it transforms you. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we understand this. This is warfare truth. The enemy knows that if he can get you saying the wrong things, he can eventually get you doing the wrong things. Because we only do what we truly believe. And we only say those things we believe. So eventually, if he gets you saying the wrong things, he gets you doing the wrong things. John Bunyan, the man who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, said, "It is better to have a heart without words than words without heart." Well, that's strong, isn't it? It's better to have words without heart, or it's better to have a heart without words than words without heart. How many people have you met? Don't point at them if they're here. But how many people have you met that you know they do not believe what's coming out of their mouth? And neither do you. They're saying stuff and you're just sitting there smiling going, "You liar. You lie like a rug. Woo. What you really need me to do is punch you in the throat." Yeah, hallelujah. Bless your heart. Yeah, I just want to throat punch you. Yeah. Little liar. You don't believe what you're saying. That's right. Hallelujah. Yeah. John Bunyan's vision of a man throwing water on a flame. He said, "I thought he was throwing water, but it was really kerosene. What he threw on the fire actually made it worse." And a lot of the temptation has to do with what your tongue is going to say about your temptation. You know, I tell men all the time, you can't help what goes through your mind, but you can help what stays in your mind. And one of the things, and listen, you know, don't get me started. Ooh, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Because all these women say, "Yeah, all these men." No, no. So the women, this day and time, the women just as crude as the men. That's right. Y'all look at some men in them little shorts. I saw you doing it. Look at that Speedo. I saw it. Excuse me, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Glory. But it's the same thing. But you can't help those thoughts coming through. But you can help if they stay there. You know, like, Lord Jesus, God put all her sand in the right places. Yes, Jesus. No, that's helping the temptation, not combating the temptation. Amen? Hey, I still go to the beach, and I have to just close my eyes. Or I just look straight into Sherry's. How you doing? Come on, somebody. You ain't got to go to the beach nowadays, ladies. Amen. Some of the stuff y'all wear around just town. Walmart. I wasn't going to say that. Amen. Bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. That's what you got to do, man. You got to speak it. There's a great warfare over your words. Don't just think about what you're going to say. Pray about what you're going to say. You got to pray about it. You sow a seed every time you speak. You sow seed when you speak. When you speak, seeds are coming out of your mouth that are growing. If it's not growing in you, it's growing in the person you spoke to. You're nothing. You will never amount to anything. Those are seeds. How many's ever been told that? Come on. I mean, I remember my teachers telling me, you'll be in jail before the time you're 21. Yeah, showed her. It was 24 till I went. Bless God. And that was just a visit. Now, there you go. I was smarter. Didn't get caught. But anyway, move on. But once they ate from the wrong tree, the force that worked against them began to work within them. Now, hear me. The force that works against you, if you're not careful, begins to work within you. You're battling against a force, but if they begin to win the war with your mouth, then they begin to work within you instead of against you. We plant the weeds caused by the curse when we misspeak. Point number two is this: the seed determines the fruit. The seed determines the fruit. It doesn't matter what you do, what you say, the seed determines the fruit. What you speak sows the seed that will be your future harvest. What you speak sows the seed of what will be your future harvest. What do you want your life to look like? Start speaking that. But don't just name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. Speak it, believe it, and work. Oh, there's that ugly word, that four-letter word. Work toward it. I'm telling you, I have a big problem with Pentecostals or charismatics who all they want to do is speak it but not do it. You can speak it all day long. I'm going to get rich in the name of Jesus. You click your heels together three times. You still ain't going to have nothing when you get done. Work. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking to you now. Come on. What you confess with your mouth is what you're going to possess with your life. Because do you understand this? That what you speak is a catalog of what you're going to receive in the mail. You speak that garbage is going to wind up back at your house. You spew that destruction, it's what's going to wind up back at your house. Because listen, the seed stealer, the devil, is a seed stealer. You ever notice that? Here's what I don't understand. If I put my big screen television out by the road and I put good, somebody's going to steal it. Matter of fact, a friend of mine in Jacksonville, he pastors Atlantic Beach Assembly of God. He put a VCR out on the garbage pile. And this is a true story. I'm not exaggerating. And he heard a knock on the door. He said, yeah, can I help you? He goes, hey, did you put that VCR out there on the dump pile? He said, yes, I did. He goes, well, you wouldn't happen to have the remote to it, would you? The pastor did what you did, laughed. He goes, I don't know, man. Hang on, let me go see. He went and found the remote. He goes, yeah, here's the remote. He goes, hey, thank you, man. I appreciate that. 2 days later, another knock on the door. He said, hey, man, that VCR don't work. He said, and that's why it's on the dump pile. But do you know, I've never had anybody try to steal my garbage. I don't sit out there with my gun and a scope waiting for somebody to come by and steal my garbage. Matter of fact, when we were up in Panama City, we had the generator going. When I came home, my wife said, you know, you're talking real loud all the time. I said, because I'm talking over chainsaws and generators. That's why. And so we were tired. Oh, good gracious. I finally fell asleep about 10:30. It was just starting to cool off. And here's what I hear. Hey, somebody's getting the generator. So we all jumped up. It was Rod. He's the one that woke up first. And we ran outside. No, nobody's stealing the generator. It just is out of gas. Because we didn't want anybody stealing our generator. But nobody, I've never slept close to my garbage to see if somebody's going to steal my garbage. Matter of fact, I want them to. Please steal it. Take it away. Save me a little bit of money. Nobody wants a future harvest of garbage. So we've got to make sure what we speak is not garbage. That what we speak is the Word of God. And I'm not talking about walking around talking, speaking the Word of God, all, you know, quoting the Bible all the time. I'm not talking about that. How many is getting what I'm talking about? Because here's what I want you to think about. The seed stealer is the devil. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, Matthew 13:19, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now think about this. Why doesn't the enemy want the word in your heart? You can read a Harlequin romance books, if they still make them, I don't know. But you can read that kind of crap. I shouldn't say that. That stuff. Bad pastor. You could read that junk. National Enquirer. You can read all these fictional books. And man, it just gets in you, right? But you try to read the Bible, and it is so tough, right? You can read war books, you can read westerns. Man, all of that's in the Bible. You want mystery? It's in there. Intrigue? In there. Adultery? In there. War? In there. Strategic? It's in there. But you, the devil wants to keep it out of your heart, out of your mind, and out of your heart. Because if it ever gets in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. And if it ever begins to come out of your mouth, it's going to show up in your life. Why does he not bother to take the bad seeds? Why is it all the warfare over the seeds of God's word entering into your life and not the war over the National Enquirer? Have you experienced warfare while you've been trying to have quiet time? Your prayer time? I mean, come on. The devil tries to steal that. Why? Because the natural and the spiritual, that's what the problem is. What you eat determines the health of your body. I ought to look like a pizza. And I halfway look like a cow, but anyway, because I love beef. Matter of fact, I plan on having some beef this night afternoon. I look like, I know it. The health of your body impacts what you do with your life, right? The health of your body. Well, you know, why don't you exercise? Because it don't feel good. Right? What I eat impacts what I can do with my body. If I don't eat enough, I won't be able to do what I need to do. While we were working, thank God for Jeremy Marshall. Jeremy Marshall, he's the big guy in this picture. He's 6'5", 290 pounds. And he'd say, Pastor, you need a drink. I'd go, yes, sir. Jesus. Pastor, it's time for you to drink again. Kind of bossy, okay, but he really did help me because I don't drink enough when I'm working like that. And he knew the value of it. And he kept doing it because he knew that if I dropped out because I didn't have enough stuff in my body, that I wasn't able to do the work that was going to be there, and he was going to have to do double work. So realistically, he's kind of selfish, isn't he? Just thought about that. Yeah, a little selfish. Selfish. That's what he is. But he knew that I wouldn't be able to function if I didn't have the right stuff in my body. Can I tell you that you cannot function as a functioning Christian, as a functioning a positive force in society, if you don't have the right stuff in your body? Because the devil's trying to put all the wrong stuff in your mind and in your spirit. But the Word of God is what you need. It is the electrolytes of life that you put that in your Bible, in your body, and in your mind. And when all hell breaks loose, you can stand up and go, I know who I am, and I know who I serve, and I know he's got me, and he's got this. Hallelujah. Your spiritual intake is what determines your future. Point number three, and I'm done. Point number three is the mouth reveals what the heart conceals. The mouth reveals what the heart conceals. You ever talk to somebody who's been hurt? Are you still hurt? No, I'm not hurt. I don't even care. I can't stand him. I hope they die and go to hell. Oh, yeah, you're not bitter at all. Not at all. Because your mouth reveals what your heart conceals. Luke chapter 6, write it down. Verse 44. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The process of the seed. Words are seeds sown into the heart. And seeds in the heart work the same way as seeds in the ground. How many's ever grew anything? I'm not a farmer, and I'm not a green thumb, and you know, I'll say all the time that stuff at my house, except for the weeds, all the plants and flowers are in different stages of dying. Every time we go to Home Depot and buy some new plants, I'll take them and put them in the truck. I go, it was good knowing you, buddy. I'm so sorry I picked you. I'm so sorry, but anything you'd like for your last meal? Because you ain't going to make it long, I can promise you. However, we do got a few plants in the house that has lived like a, I think we got one for 2 or 3 years that's been living. And every once in a while I go by and just pat it. Hey, man, you hard to kill, ain't you? Boy, glory to God. How you doing? Amen. But I have no idea where I was going with all that now. But anyway, I do know. That seeds in the heart work the same way as seeds in the ground. One time, I remember the only thing I've ever grew is I love new potatoes. And those, I don't know if they're new, they're red, like the red potatoes, is that new potatoes? I love those, boiled up, you know, and good, and maybe in a crab boil or something like that. Anyway, or low country boil, come on somebody. with corn and glory, Jesus. Let me move on. But I planted some of those at my first pastorate. You know, I'm in Blountstown, Florida, man. I'm in the country. Let me just become country. So I planted some potatoes. And so one of the guys came by and said, hey, preacher. I seen them start growing. They got green. They said, hey, preacher. They called me preacher all the time. Hey, preacher, you want to dig them potatoes up? I go, no, man, they died. The tops of them are dead. I'm not digging up dead potatoes. Now, what I didn't realize is they die, that means they're done. Nobody told me that. I go, really? I went and dug them up and had me a couple of messes of potatoes. Who knew? So I know. So yes, I know how to grow stuff. But it's the same thing in your heart, man. You take, you plant the seed, and the seed takes root. And some of us are just killing the sprout of the bad seeds and not removing the seed. Because the seed takes root, and then the seed uses, hear me closely, the surrounding strength of the soil to begin to grow. So you get bad seed in good soil, it's still going to grow. See, that's the problem with some of us. The problem is not the seed. You come to church, you get the good word, the good seed of God's word, but your surrounding soil is the problem. The word can't take root because the soil is bad. You didn't put any nitrate in it. You didn't put any magnesium or whatever stuff you put in a good to make soil good. Somebody tell me after service, so I'll have it down in there next week, because I don't know what to do to make soil good, but I know you put stuff in there. Right? Am I right? Somebody? Horse manure. Horse manure. Oh, there's plenty of that around here. So they use the strength of the surrounding soil. Then they begin to surface. And then it begins to bear fruit. And then they expand to multiple other places. There was once a lion who came across three bulls, a red bull, a white bull, and a black bull. The lion tried to attack them, but they, But because they were so strong together, he decided to bide his time, and he befriended the bulls and told them that he was now protecting them. One day he called the red bull and the black bull. He said, "Listen, my friends, I'm really concerned for you." "Why?" they asked. The lion responded, "The white bull represents a threat to you. He stands out with the complexion. He's going to make you a target for other predators and hunters, not like me, but you know, the lives of both of you are at stake. Let me eliminate him for you." The red bull, the black bull agreed. After all, the lion was their sincere friend and king of the jungle. The lion attacked the white bull, and because no one came to his help, he was defeated. The lion ate him. A few weeks later, the lion called the black bull over and gives him the same speech. "The red bull represents a threat to you by attracting attention. You know he's red. The red bull represents a threat. Let me eliminate him for you, and you will be safe." The black bull agreed. He was a friend of the king of the jungle, so who cares about anybody else? So he allowed the lion to kill and eat the red bull. A few days later, the lion confronted the black bull and said, "Now it's your time." The black bull finally realized his mistake and said, "I was killed the moment the white bull was killed." Folks, we're stronger together. Make sure that you're planting the right seeds. So let's get the bigger picture and I'm done. The big picture is this, is that your words affect. And you put whatever you want to at the base. Your words affect every aspect of your life. People says, "Oh, but you know, whoever coined that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," is an idiot. Because words start wars, words stop wars. Your words affect your marriage. They affect your children. They affect your state of being. They affect your health. They affect your finances. They affect your future. They affect what you do or what you want out of life. What tree are you eating from? And even more importantly, what seed are you reproducing? Many years ago, I had to check myself, and I do it quite often. But my child, my daughter, Lauren, as a matter of fact, helped me check myself. Because I mentioned somebody, it wasn't in this church, it was another pastor. And my daughter said, "I can't remember, Daddy, do we like them?" And she was just a young teenager. "Do we like them?" And I thought, she's been listening to the words I've spoke. And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I can't remember if we like them or not." I said, "Well, baby, you don't really know them." "Yeah, but if you don't like them, I don't like them. And if you like them, I do." The big picture, your words. Let me help some of your parents. You ready? If you can't pay your light bill, your child don't need to know of that. Your child don't need to know that you can't pay your bills. I'm not saying lie to them. They can't handle some of the things that you handle. You're the parent. Handle it. Deal with it. But remember, the seeds, the words that you're saying is reproducing seed. Because if you'll get this in your mind and your spirit, you can reproduce what you say. You can reproduce, you're going to reap what you sow. But here's the good news. No matter which tree you've been eating from, today you can choose the right tree. No matter what seeds you've been sowing today, you can choose the right seed. Stand to your feet with me. Thank you, Jesus. I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. Would you bow your heads with me, every eye closed? I want to give you two things this morning before we dismiss. One, if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. What do you mean by that, preacher? Have you ever asked the Lord to come into your life and forgive you of your sin? If you haven't done that, I want to invite you to invite Jesus into your life. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if that's you, lift up your hand. You can put it right back down. Anybody in this room? I'm going to believe that everybody's a born-again believer then. Now here comes the real question. What tree have you been eating from? What seeds have you been sowing? I wonder how many of us would be honest enough to say, Pastor, from time to time I eat from the wrong tree and I sow the wrong seeds. Come on, just lift up your hand. If that's you, if you know it's you. Almost everybody in this building. And the ones that didn't raise your hands probably lying. Would you just throw both of your hands in the air and say, God, help me to eat from the right tree and sow the right seed. Lord, I pray that you put guards on our lips. Lord, would you be as Isaiah said in chapter 6, when the angel of the Lord took a coal from the altar and touched our lips? Make us whole today, God. Lord, I am living a legacy and leaving a legacy for my children, good, bad, or ugly. So help me today, God, to sow the right seeds for the right harvest in their lives in the name of Jesus. Can we take about 2 minutes and just worship for just a moment? Because here's what he's saying. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.